Well, good evening. It's July 25th, 2023, and it's 1710 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. Carl Jung said, people grow like plants, some in light, others in shade. There are many who need shade, not light. Sun Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, said, you can't trust a man who has nothing to lose. And Mark Twain said, there are several good protections against the temptations, but the surest is cowardice. And our song for today is from 1979, Charlie Daniels and the Charlie Daniels Band. It's a song that on the charts was number one in two places. U.S. Hot Country Songs, number one in the U.S. and number one on Canada Country Tracks in 1979. This is Charlie Daniels singing, playing the fiddle, and the Charlie Daniels Band backing him up. From 1979, The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on the fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, you're rising up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul. Up his case and he said, I'll start this show, and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Said, well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granted, you don't bite, no child, no. Devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. He laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been. He played, fire on the mountain, run, boy, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granted, we a dog fight, no child, no.
Well, at least one word in that song was not normally acceptable behavior in polite society, but that's the way it was. And we heard that song on the radio quite a number of times. From the Born and Raised article, which I called the Born Again article yesterday, and also I should correct the grammar I talked about yesterday. It's not whomever were chosen, it's whoever were chosen. Whoever were chosen. If you can say he or they were chosen, if you can say they were chosen, then it's whoever. And if it has to be them, in other words, he chose them, then it would be whomever he chose. That, then whom would be used. So that's how that grammar works. Now, from Born and Raised, paragraph 12 of chapter 2, after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. That's part of Daniel chapter 9. Makes up a part of Daniel's prophecy. And this is a problem for us unless the 7 weeks are added to it and precede it. Because in Daniel's prophecy it says there are 7 weeks, also 62 weeks. So it sounds like the 7 weeks has to precede it. However, at least that's what the prophecy says, but it doesn't say what order, but it does give them in that order. However, so the 7 weeks we think should precede it. However, the 69 weeks do appear fulfilled as a total. 62 plus 7 makes 69 weeks, as the prophecy also did recount. Yet, there is something far more interesting to be seen here. When the 62 weeks are counted from BCE 454, this year being year 20 of Artaxerxes for Mr. Jones above. When we subtract the 62 weeks, or 434 years, 62 times 7, that is, from BCE 454, we arrive at BCE 20. 454 minus 434. And BCE 20 is year 18 of King Herod, an augural year. Since in BCE 20 he begins to rebuild the temple. That's his 18th year. King Herod's 18th year. Herod the Great, he's called. And that's BCE 20 because his year 1 is 37 BCE. As very many, or at least a considerable number of secular sources agree, just 49 years or 7 weeks later comes 30 CE, the year of the crucifixion. Because there's no year zero, so from 20 BCE to 30 CE might look like 50 years, but it's only 49 years. So there's our 7 weeks comes after the 62 weeks. Which is when, in 30 CE, the Messiah is cut off or dies. There's going to be more coming about this later in the article, too. However, what is even more fulfilling in this paragraph is that at John 2:20, the Jews say to Jesus at the Passover, just after he commences his ministry, and thus in 27 CE, since he was baptized in the fall of 26 CE, and we're going to get into this a lot more, but the thing is, he just commenced his ministry in 26 CE, but the first Passover after that was in 27 CE, and that's how we know that it was 27 CE, is because it was the Passover just after he commenced his ministry, and the temple was built in 46 years, they said, at that time, implying that it is in founding by Herod 46 years before 27 CE. In other words, they were saying it was built in 46 years, and they said that in the year, 27 CE. So we count back 46 years and we get to 20 BCE exactly, because there's no year zero. Looks like 47 years, but it's only 46 years. So we compute this as follows. 46 minus 27 plus 1, because there's no year zero, equals BCE 20. Or it's the same thing as saying 46 minus 26 equals 20, which is King Herod year 18. That's the year, therefore, when they started to build the temple, according to that statement at John 2 and 20. It's in the Bible. The prophecy of Daniel. So even though the Bible doesn't give any of the year numbers, it gives us some year intervals, some intervals of years. And we can, if we know any of the actual year numbers, we can calculate then other year numbers or dates, year dates, you know, the year of a particular event. The prophecy of Daniel has a multiple fulfillment with the crucifixion date in 30 CE, as these examples show. Each main point occurs at the middle of a week. From the middle of the week 1 to the middle of week 70 is a duration of 69 weeks of years, or the year 30 CE, as the end point. Could this be the middle of another week that ended in 70 CE or 73 CE at Masada and began at Jesus' birth? Hopefully, we will get to that later in our discourse. So we see the amazing power here. And we'll see what it means later on, because there's another meaning for the Messiah being cut off. And that will come about later in the article. But that's all for the study for today. It shows how the prophecy of Daniel is very well fulfilled when we take the middle of the week as the sort of focus point for all of these prophetic statements. And now we have 1 Corinthians chapter 5, but that's not what we're doing right now. That's coming up. I was just arranging these things, preparing them. Now, Proverbs 19 and 15, little children, is our proverb for today. And it says, laziness causes a deep sleep to fall, and a slack soul goes hungry. Yeah, the Proverbs mention laziness on a number of occasions, not just one occasion. In Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 25 now, both of our chapters for today are short. So, now Israel was dwelling in Shittim. Maybe we'll stop our study early today because I'm once again suffering the same lack of ability and lack of strength caused by my problem with the root of the root canal of my tooth, apparently, which has been examined but hasn't been done yet or fixed or anything. You know, it hasn't been given any surgical attention yet. Numbers 25. Now Israel was dwelling in Shittim. Then the people started to have immoral relations with the daughters of Moab. Now, Shittim is a place somewhere in the Promised Land. Let's see, or still on the opposite side of the Jordan. Actually, not in the Promised Land. Well, yes, it is. It is in the Promised Land because Israel did eventually get land on both sides of the Jordan, but the thing is, it's not on the side. They haven't crossed the Jordan yet. That's the point. And the women came calling, at least we haven't read that they crossed the Jordan, and the women came calling the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people began to eat and bow down to their gods, to their gods. In other words, the gods of the Moabites. the Israelites bowed down to the gods of the Moabites. So Israel attached itself to the Baal of Peor, and the anger of Jehovah began to blaze against Israel. Hence Jehovah said to Moses, take all the head ones of the people and expose them to Jehovah toward the sun, that the burning anger of Jehovah may turn back from Israel. Then Moses said to the judges of Israel, each one of you kill his men who have an attachment with the Baal of Peor. Quite a serious pronouncement by Moses. That's how bad it was to worship these false gods. The things that these false gods were associated with, the actions that the people who worshiped these false gods committed, the actions that they did, the actions they carried out, the atrocities that they committed, were not acceptable at all to Jehovah. But look, a man of the sons of Israel came, and he was bringing near to his brothers a Midianite woman before Moses' eyes, and before the eyes of all the assembly of the sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, caught sight of it, he at once got up from the midst of the assembly and took a lance in his hand. Then he went after the man of Israel into the vaulted tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her genital parts. At that the scourge was halted from upon the sons of Israel, and those who died from the scourge amounted to 24,000. 24,000. They were dying. And they were evidently dying because the judges of Israel were killing any of their men who had an attachment to the Baal of Peor. A scourge can mean a whipping. It can also mean a plague or an epidemic, or you know, some kind of a thing that it's a disciplinary thing is what a scourge is. You know, some kind of punishment. So those who died from the scourge amounted to 24,000. Then Jehovah said to Moses, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from upon the sons of Israel by his tolerating no rivalry at all toward me in the midst of them, so that I have not exterminated the sons of Israel in my insistence on exclusive devotion. For that reason here, say, here I am giving him my covenant of peace, and it must serve as the covenant of a priesthood to time indefinite for him and his offspring after him, due to the fact that he tolerated no rivalry toward his God, and proceeded to make atonement for the sons of Israel. Incidentally, the name of the fatally struck Israelite man, who was fatally struck with the Midianites, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a chieftain of a paternal house of the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianite woman fatally struck was Cosbi, the son of Zur. He was a head one of the clans of a paternal house in Midian. Later Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, let there be a harassing of the Midianites, and you men must strike them, because they are harassing you with their deeds of cunning that they committed against you cunningly in the affair of Peor, and in the affair of Cosbi, the daughter of a chieftain of Midian, their sister, who was fatally struck in the day of the scourge over the affair of Peor. That's the end of Numbers 25. So it's brought out here in verse 18 that the Midianites were not just innocent here. They were committing deeds of cunning in trying to mislead the Israelites away from Jehovah and into a relationship with the false god called Baal of Peor. We don't really even want to talk about all the atrocities committed by the people who worship false gods, because it's not really going to lift us up or make us feel any better. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, actually fornication is reported among you. Right, okay, so we're continuing the book of Corinthians, chapter 5. And such fornication, this is similar to what was happening in the time of Moses with the the false worship, which was actually causing fornication back then as well. And such fornication as is not even among the nations, Paul writes to the Corinthians, that a wife a certain man has of his father. And are you puffed up, and did you not rather mourn in order that the man that committed this deed should be taken away from your midst? I, for one, although absent in body but present in spirit, have certainly judged already, as if I were present, the man who has worked in such a way as this, that in the name of our Lord Jesus, when you were gathered together, also my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus, that you hand such a man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, in order that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. What does it mean for the destruction of the flesh? Well, it doesn't mean that the destruction of this man will occur immediately. It's just that ultimately in the day of the Lord, the idea is that the righteous will be saved and that the unrighteous, the wicked, will be destroyed. Your cause for boasting is not fine. Do you not know that a little leaven ferments the whole lump? Clear away the old leaven, something we call yeast, that you may be a new lump according as you are free from ferment. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Leaven also lightens the bread because it makes it less dense. So, leaven means lighten as well as to cause arising by means of something like yeast. Consequently, let us keep the festival, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of badness and wickedness, but with unfermented cakes of sincerity and truth. In my letter I wrote you to quit mixing in company with fornicators, not meaning entirely with the fornicators of this world, or the greedy persons and extortioners or idolaters, otherwise you would actually have to get out of the world. But now I am writing you to quit mixing in company with anyone called a brother, that is, a fornicator or a greedy person or even an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even eating with such a man. For what do I have to do with judging those outside? Do you not judge those inside while God judges those outside? Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. So the idea is the judgment of those on the outside is by means of God. God does the judging of those on the outside. And the elders in the congregation judge those in the congregation. That's the idea that's being expressed there. So that's the end of our study for today. Yeah, I think it's better for me not to. You know, one good thing about being ill, I am quite ill. I just don't have any physical strength. And that's dangerous because I also have work I need to do. I can't care for my lawn or things like that if I can't do physical work. I don't want to do anything that puts me at risk, you know, physically. But but there's an advantage to being ill in some ways, because when I'm ill is when I spend more time doing new research, watching YouTube channels I never would watch otherwise, and learning new things which I would not otherwise learn. So there are some advantages to it also. But I think we better cut the study short. We're at 24 minutes right now. And I really do think we have to cut it short just for the sake of being a good example to others. So I love you. I hope you have a great day. I am in considerable discomfort, but not really any severe continual pain or anything like that. Hopefully I don't become in pain. You know, the pain doesn't increase from what it is, which is fairly mild. But there's a lot of malaise and a lot of sort of like it feels like some kind of a fever, but I'm not feverish. You know, it's a bad sickness, whatever. And that can be attributable to a root canal, I suppose, to the need for a root canal. But His tooth has not had a root canal. We've been trying to prevent it. But I hope you do. Well, I hope you enjoyed the study. And on my behalf, it was July 25th, 2023, 1735 hours. On my behalf, I'm Ward Green, and this is Annie and Dusty saying bye for now.